CAP Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A national gerrymandering fight has hit an inflection point. California voters overwhelmingly approved Proposition 50, which means for the first time in 15 years, the state will bypass its own independent redistricting commission and temporarily redraw its congressional maps to give Democrats an edge ahead of the midterm. This sprint of a special election spanned a little over 70 days in response to Texas Republicans gerrymandering its own maps at the urging of President Trump. Last night was a resounding triumph for Governor Gavin Newsom.
And tonight, after poking the bear, this bear roared. With an unprecedented turnout in a special election with an extraordinary result.
Prop 50 targets five Republican districts, and reflexively, congressional campaigns are already shape-shifting for the midterm. Moments after the race was called, Democratic Congressman Ami Bera, who represents Sacramento, announced his run for District 3, currently held by Republican Kevin Kiley. Representative Kiley held a press conference this morning.
So as far as what is next for me, I will be running for re-election to the House of Representatives next year. I have not in any way, shape, or form decided or really even thought about where exactly I will land next year.
But these still forming campaigns are just one moving part. As Prop 50 may be challenged in court, the California Republican Party joined a federal lawsuit challenging the state's mid-decade redistricting. Here's attorney Mike Colombo arguing that the new map is unconstitutional because it violates the 14th and 15th Amendments.
The map is designed to favor one race of California voters over others.
We have a packed show today, including analysis and responses from both the yes and no campaigns. But we're going to kick things off with CAP Radio State House politics reporters Gerardo Zavala and Laura Fitzgerald. Hey, you two.
Hey, Vicky.
So a busy night, a busy weeks leading up to this special election evening. Laura, you were at the California Democratic Party headquarters. What was the atmosphere like?
Yeah, it wasn't what you'd necessarily expect during a regular year election. No watch party or anything like that. But it was where the Yes on 50 campaign was stationed. And there are some Democratic Party leaders there, too. And I'd say the atmosphere in downtown Sacramento headquarters was cautiously optimistic in the afternoon when there were still a few hours left to vote. And then into the evening, Governor Newsom made an appearance where he declared victory, as we heard at the top of the show. But the tone of his remarks was serious, saying that this was just one step and that the real work for Democrats lies ahead before next year's midterms.
None of us, however, are naive. This is a pattern. This is a practice. Donald Trump's efforts to rig the midterm election continue to this day.
Okay, so cautiously optimistic leading up to polls closing, but the race was almost immediately called by the AP after 8 p.m. Did that come as a surprise to anyone yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily surprising, but anyone who votes in California or runs campaigns here knows that the state can take a really long time to count ballots, and sometimes that means it's weeks until close races are called. This was definitely not the case last night. You know, there was some polling that came out that showed that it had very strong support among likely voters, and I think that gave the yes side some comfort going into yesterday. And it was also just a single issue ballot, so less things for voters to get through and for election officials to count.
And you've joined us multiple times leading up to this special election night, and it wasn't a foregone conclusion that this was in the bag. So how did momentum really swing behind the Yes on Prop 50 campaign in the weeks leading up to this election?
Yeah, no, there are a lot of people that I talked to who back in August when we were talking about doing this that thought this was a joke. And when the idea was first floated, it was pretty neck and neck with a 50-50 split, more or less. Last night at the Democratic headquarters, I spoke with Democratic strategist Jim DeBoo. He worked on the Yes on Prop 50 campaign. He also served as Newsom's chief of staff earlier in his administration. And this is how he described the outlook for Prop 50 at the start.
In situations when you get polling back that shows that something's around 50, it's the worst feeling in the world because you have a shot, but it's not a very good shot. For people like me who do this for a living, especially with ballot measures, if you have something in the low 50s, it's very easy to knock that under 50% plus one. But from his perspective, there wasn't another choice.
his perspective, he's meaning, of course, Governor Gavin Newsom's perspective, that he didn't have any choice but to go through with this because of, he says, what Texas did. And as we know now, the yes side was really able to create momentum with voters.
Yeah. About national politics. I mean, you did also catch up with California Republicans yesterday. What did they tell you?
Yeah, I spoke with California Republican Party Chair Corinne Rankin at the state's GOP headquarters yesterday afternoon. And, you know, this was before polls closed, and she told me her party was working up until late yesterday to continue to turn out voters who opposed Prop 50. But she also really told me that her perspective on Prop 50 and the Republican perspective was that this wasn't and shouldn't be a partisan issue. It was all about maintaining the independent redistricting commission. But as we saw, that messaging didn't really resonate with the majority of voters. Here's GOP Chairwoman Rankin last night after the race was called.
Other states should be following the standard that Californians set with this independent redistricting commission. We have fought for it. We've fought to keep it. Community members throughout the state of California have spent tens of thousands of hours pouring input into the shaping of these districts, and in one fell swoop, political insiders grabbed the power away from the people. What they have done is expose themselves. So when we go into next year, into the midterm election, the general election, it's going to be about the issues. Republicans will continue to fight for the best interest of Californians. And I truly believe that the Republican Party is on the right side of history in this case.
Yeah, an important context. California's Independent Redistricting Commission is considered a gold standard in election reform. And Proposition 50, also important to note, is temporary for the next three election cycles, 6 years. Okay, Gerardo, you were in Placer County. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one of the targeted Republican districts that is now moving forward. Remind us what will happen to Placer County.
So Placer County is going to be split into three congressional districts, each with Democratic advantages. Currently, the entire county is in District 3 and is represented by Republican Congressman Kevin Kiley. And it is important to note that as of this morning, the majority of Placer County voters were actually against Prop 50. About 55% voted no.
Oh, that is interesting. I mean, you went to the local Democratic Party headquarters or watch party in Placer County. Mm-hmm. What was the reaction last night?
Yeah, the excitement was palpable. Here's what it sounded like when they first heard the results. I spoke with their chair, Nick Bennett, to get his reaction to the results. And here's what he had to say about what this victory means for the Democratic Party.
We definitely have momentum in pushing for ideas and solutions that resonate with a lot of people throughout the country who are tired with what they've seen over the last 10 months and really want a different and better direction.
Okay, so you mentioned that the majority of voters in Placer County, I mean, these are early election returns. I mean, votes still need to be certified. But the majority as it stands this morning were against Prop 50. So is it possible that the passing of this could really fire up opponents?
Yeah, definitely. I also spoke with Mark Wright. He's the chair of the local Republican Party. He does think Prop 50 passing is going to fire up their base, but that they have a lot of work cut out for them as they'll need to find candidates to run in each of the three districts they're now a part of.
We have Kylie to run in one, but we don't know right now who the Republicans are going to run in the other two districts that are going to be in Placer. So it's going to make a lot more work for us and cost us more money because we have to now run three congressional races instead of just one race.
And again, as you mentioned before, it's important to note that Kylie has not announced which district he will be running in.
When you talked to voters in Placer County, what were the main factors driving them to turn out to vote, whether for or against Prop 50?
So I spent a good chunk of my day speaking with students at Sierra College, and they all had different reasons for why they voted. Some said they voted yes because of the affordability crisis, which they seem to think has been made worse by the Trump administration. Physics major Victoria Peyronel said California had to fight fire with fire to protect democracy.
I voted yes on Prop 50 just because of the current state of things. I think that the Founding Fathers made our Constitution in a certain way so that we're able to fight back against certain administrations just in the right way. And this is the loophole that we found. And so we're going to go with it. If this is what we've got, we fight with what we've got.
You know, she's also concerned about funding cuts to science programs and research. And only one of the students I spoke to, his name is Bryce Hamilton, voted no. And here's his explanation for that.
I voted no just because my parents know a lot more about the topics at hand than I do, and I trust their logic. Of course, I didn't just like blindly go along with what they said. They kind of explained it to me, and I did a little bit of my own research. But yeah, it just kind of going with their expertise and like what they think is best, then that just that works with me.
Yeah, and the 19-year-old told me he's not too worried about the election results because he thinks it won't have an impact on him.
Okay, you're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio State House politics reporters Gerardo Zavala and Laura Fitzgerald. Okay, Gerardo, when we get into the races and what they could look like for the quickly approaching midterm, let's start with the district that you focused on in Placer County. Representative Kevin Kiley says he intends to seek re-election. You've been following him closely in the weeks leading up to Election Day. What stands out to you about how he's navigating the immediate aftermath of this election?
So I did reach out to him yesterday, but his team directed me to a video statement he released instead. He does say, as you mentioned before, that he'll run for re-election, but that he still doesn't know where because his current district will be sliced into, you know, six different areas. Here's Kylie after being asked whether he'll run against GOP Representative Tom McClintock next year.
I don't know where other people are running. There's no incumbent in any of the 52 districts that would be created by the Prop 50 maps. I mean, what I can say with some confidence is that, you know, wherever I run, it will be one of the six districts that includes part of my current district, because I want to at least be able to keep some of the same constituents.
It's also worth noting that Kylie has put forward a bill that would ban mid-decade redistricting nationwide, though this bill hasn't gone anywhere in Congress.
Yeah, especially during a government shutdown at that. Laura, what other districts stand out to you, both Republican and democratically held congressional districts currently?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, David Valadao's district in the Central Valley, that district, I mean, he's a Republican, but it already leans Democratic. So that one, you know, it will make it even harder. And I think I know you're having Paul Mitchell on after us, redistricting guru, and he can probably speak to this more. But I think it's really interesting that we could start to see in some districts that Republicans are running against each other, because this has just really changed the landscape. And I just think that'd be really interesting. I think that's going to happen with Daryl Issa down in San Diego. But I can let others weigh in on that after me.
Yeah, when it comes to California and Texas, I mean, it doesn't just stop here. I mean, these actions of gerrymandering set into motion other states diving into this national battle ahead of the midterm. So where does that stand now?
Yeah, that's right. There are a handful of states that have already followed through with their own redistricting plans. Missouri drew its map to pick up one GOP seat. North Carolina did the same thing. Ohio's picked up two Republican seats. And then other blue states are also considering following California. Those include Virginia, Illinois, Maryland. And Newsom made a point of calling on these other blue states to redistrict last night.
We need the state of Virginia. We need the state of Maryland. We need our friends in New York, in Illinois, in Colorado. We need to see other states with the remarkable leaders that have been doing remarkable things meet this moment head on as well, to recognize what we're up against in 2026.
And it doesn't just stop there. Hours after this race was called, the state GOP, California Republican Party, is part of a federal lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of Proposition 50. What is the argument they're making, Gerardo?
Yeah, and what's surprising about that was their argument. You know, they are saying that California Democrats drew maps to increase Latino voter power. But according to the Public Policy Institute of California, the Citizens Redistricting Commission's current plan includes 16 majority Latino districts, which is the same as the Prop 50 map. The only difference is that it raises the number of districts where Latinos make up a majority by one. There are seven in the commission's plan and eight in the Prop 50 plan, and that's out of 52 districts in the state.
Laura, did you hear rumblings that this would happen in the aftermath or the immediate aftermath, a lawsuit like this, if Prop 50 were to pass?
Yeah, if you remember when we were talking about this back in August, you know, members of the GOP party did try to sue when this even went to the ballot, and that didn't go anywhere. And I think, you know, it's definitely an example of them trying to use every tool that's possibly available to them to slow this down.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, when you just said that, I mean, this has just gone at a light speed. You know, it can be kind of dizzying. When it comes to Governor Newsom, I mean, this was, he pushed this. I mean, this Proposition 50 moved forward because of him. So what ultimately does this mean for his visibility and his image on the national stage?
Yeah, I mean, it's a resounding win and political affirmation for Gavin Newsom. And similar to the recall election back in 2021, where he won handily, this election shows that a lot of Californians are on board with this national approach he's taken on of fighting back against the Trump administration. And it's boosted Newsom's national profile. I mean, this redistricting arms race is national news, and he's front and center on it. And he's really just taken a bigger role in criticizing President Trump in general. And Prop 50 is just the latest example of that.
This election is just a pit stop to the midterm, which will be here before we know it. So what will you be following next?
Yeah, well, I'm really interested in these Republicans who represent these five districts that were targeted. They are going to be impacted. They have some decisions to make. Do they run again? And if they do, under the new map, which district do they run in? We heard Kylie grappling with that earlier in the show. And then I'm also really, you know, going to be following how both parties start to organize ahead of next year's midterms, which is really what this whole redistricting battle is about. And it'll be interesting to see whether this new map actually does yield five more seats for Democrats like they're hoping.
Yeah, how about you, Gerardo?
Yeah, I'll be looking more into this lawsuit from the GOP and if it has merit. It is true that some districts will give Latinos more of an advantage, but there are also some examples where the Latino vote will become more diluted. District 3 is actually an example of that. They're going to lose a percentage point in voter representation.
A lot to sort through. Thank you both. Probably running on fumes, but thank you for joining us and distilling everything that's happened in the last, you know, 12 hours or so, 24 hours.
No, thank you, Vicky.
Happy to do it.
That is Cap Radio State House politics reporters Gerardo Zavala and Laura Fitzgerald discussing the immediate aftermath of Prop 50. Up next, we'll be joined by Republican strategist Mike Madrid, followed by the architect of the newly drawn maps, Paul Mipchel. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.